We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to PrizePicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can get all your Pack-A-Day updates by following us on Twitter at Pack-A-Day Podcast. And remember to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, or Spotify. And of course, you can check us out at cheeseheadtv.com. I'm Kyle Fellows, and I'm joined by Maggie Loney and Andrew Mertig, and we are here for a Friday show. We are just about to the draft, you guys. How you doing?
I don't know. You said it was a Friday show. Not even close, Kyle. I know we get moved around a lot.
I can't keep track. It's muscle memory. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
The cool thing about it being Wednesday is we wait all off season for this time, right? Like this end of the week. And it seemingly can't get here fast enough, but just around the corner, by the time you're listening to this, we are one day away from getting to know who the first round picks are going to be and all of that talk. We can finally kind of put into action and see who's going to be wearing the green and gold. So could not be more excited for this draft season and the coverage that we have for you at Pack-A-Day. But Maggie, how are you doing?
Good. Yeah, it feels like we wait all year for this and then it happens so quickly. But this is another one of my favorite episodes that we do every year, which I feel like I say a lot about a lot of the shows we do. But the 10 minutes on the clock is always a really good time. So fun show tonight.
Yeah, and we'll be getting to the 10 minutes on the clock where we really go through a simulation of what the Packers war room may very well be like come Thursday evening. But before we get to that, Kyle, you have something for us today, too.
Yeah, let's set this up because this is going to be one of the funnest shows that we do all year. It's wild, guys. We've arrived. Tomorrow is night one of the 2024 NFL Draft. Our anticipation has reached an all-time high. It's the most wonderful time of the year, and we've talked a lot about the Graham Bartons, the Cooper DeJeans, and the Amarius Mims of the world, who could certainly be in play for the Packers at 25, but we wanted to spend a little bit of time on the show on draft eve talking about some of the guys who might interest the Packers a little bit further down the board. Some sleepers, if you will. Some of these guys probably aren't deep sleepers, but they're guys that maybe we feel aren't being connected to the Packers as much as maybe they should be. So we're going to jump right into that. And as Andrew mentioned, we are going to close out the show with that 10 minutes on the clock. It's going to be a ton of fun. So Andrew, let's go ahead and get started. Who is one of these sleepers that you have for Green Bay ahead of this weekend?
Yeah, maybe it's pushing it a little bit to call Michael Hall Jr. out of Ohio State a sleeper, but I do think he's an option for Green Bay in the late second or third. The pushback I would anticipate is why the Packers would be interested in a 6'3", 290-pound lineman when they have Carl Brooks, they have Colby Wooden. Well, I think to counter that, he provides the versatility to play defensive end and rundowns and kick inside to rush the passer. And if he's effective at that, there's no such thing as too many of those kinds of players. So what makes Michael Hall Jr. a potential sleeper for the Packers? First of all, he's 20.7 years old, Packers guy. He's a 9.55 RAS guy. Packers guy. He ran a 4.78 40 with a 1.69 second 10-yard split. That's top 95 and 92% respectively of all defensive linemen recorded in RAS. Packers guy. So maybe not a quote-unquote need, but if the Packers don't take a D lineman on day one, I could see Hall being an awesome consolation prize. He's every bit as athletic as Johnny Newton and Byron Murphy II. His production in college just wasn't as good, and that kind of spells Packers guy to me.
Yeah, so I really like Michael Hall Jr. He's actually my defensive lineman 3 right behind Newton and Murphy. I do think that there's a bit of a cliff after those top two. So I think 41 might be a little bit rich for him, but 58, man, it feels like the perfect spot to take someone like Michael Hall. It's interesting. One of the biggest knocks on Hall is his size, and you kind of talked about this a little bit. But all the scouting reports early in the draft process talked about how explosive he is, the athleticism, but it all came back with the caveat that he was undersized and could he hold up against the NFL level offensive linemen who are obviously much bigger and stronger than what he faced in college. You mentioned that he was 290 pounds at the combine. I love this. This is super fascinating to me. He probably played between 285 and 290 this past year, but the testing numbers that you just mentioned that are freakish, those are from his pro day where he weighed in at 299 pounds. So we haven't seen him play at that weight, probably. I'd say that's unlikely, but it's not like the extra weight hurt him. So you love that. So you like the thought that he can carry the mass and still be that explosive. So one of my favorites in this class, and with the age combination, someone that I think has a decent bet to have a better pro career than a college one. The guy that I wanted to mention here is another player who's probably not really a sleeper. He's been getting a lot of buzz lately, actually, but I think he's worth mentioning here because I don't know how connected he is to Green Bay amongst fans, like the expectation, but I think that there is a lot of connection to Green Bay that we should be aware of. That's Western Michigan edge Marshawn Kneeland. Edge doesn't feel like the biggest need probably for the Packers, but we know they like taking big guys in the trenches, and Kneeland certainly fits that description. He's 6'3", 267 pounds. He's a 9-plus RAS tester and showed really well in the agilities and the explosiveness drills. He's a little bit raw, but he checks just about every box for what the Packers look for in their edge defenders. He's expected to go in the second round, probably a little bit of murmurs about the first, but I think he probably falls there in the second round. Again, not a huge sleeper, but I don't think many are thinking Green Bay would go edge as early as 41, but I think Kneeland would be very interesting to them at that point in the draft. The other reason I really wanted to bring up his name is because he played 3 seasons for head coach Tim Lester at Western Michigan University, who the Packers hired in 2023 as a senior analyst. Of course, Lester's gone now. He's the OC at Iowa. But Matt LaFleur and Lester played together briefly at Western before Matt transferred to Saginaw Valley State. But when Tim Lester was fired at Western, Kneeland almost left. I thought that was really interesting. He nearly transferred to Colorado, but ended up staying put there. But it was obvious that he really enjoyed playing with Lester and enjoyed his time with the coach there. But I wanted to mention the connection because we've seen these personal endorsements of players mean a lot in the past. The Packers drafted Jaden Reed last year, who spent a year with Lester at Western before he transferred to Michigan State. So obviously there are a lot of traits to love about Nealon, but I do wonder if the personal connection and the level of comfort that they'll have with the player and the evaluation through the people that they know could make him even more intriguing to the Packers.
Yeah, it's really funny because I think what you guys did was almost perfectly forecast the whole second round for the Packers, right? Michael Hall and Marshawn Nealon feels like the perfect second round sweep. So I think potentially the name I'm going to list is maybe like a third rounder. I could potentially climb into the second depending on how the boards are falling. But also the only offensive player we're going to talk about here, and it's Brandon Coleman, the offensive lineman out of TCU. And I tweeted out earlier this week that Brandon Coleman is such a day two Packers pick. And regardless of whether they take offensive line in round one, I definitely see them leaving this draft with at least three big guys. And that's been Goody's MO, right? I mean, last year was the outlier, of course, but he said in his pre-draft press conference that Green Bay looks for players who are position versatile, which, yes, I do realize is why a lot of fans don't think Mims could possibly be the pick in round one. Anyway, Coleman has a ton of reps playing both left tackle and left guard, which we know historically is something that Green Bay covets when they're looking at lineman prospects. He was a team captain at TCU, has a 9.96 relative athletic score with good size and elite traits everywhere else. Could come in and compete immediately, I think, for the starting right guard spot, or could provide depth just about anywhere if they want to use him as a backup swing tackle.
Yeah, and so it's so funny because Brandon Coleman, after Maggie tweeted that, has suddenly become a really hot name in Packers circles. And we've definitely seen him sort of in the national spotlight starting to creep up boards into that day two conversation. So full kudos to you. And I'm going to go with another potential day three player. Well, probably a day three player in my case. Safety Trey Taylor out of Air Force. He has really good quickness and straight line speed. He's strong and physical. There's some tightness in his hips. Sometimes he takes bad angles and misses tackles or gives up routes, but he's fast, physical. He has good size and fluid hips. And as a developmental guy, I think he has a ton of upside. He's 22 and a half years old and had a 9.71 RAS. He's a really intriguing high upside guy who has a solid floor because I think at that physicality, at safety, he can be a really impact special teams guy. And I have to assume brings outstanding intangibles as a service academy prospect. So Trey Taylor in a class where there's not really a lot of like athletic safeties available definitely shines in that category. And somebody I think that Green Bay would have pretty high on their boards compared to consensus.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because it almost feels like my favorite safeties are like the day three guys. And I don't know what it is, but maybe it's because I've just done more research on those guys, but a lot of really kind of sneaky names there on day three. For me, I'm going to talk about a linebacker, Marist Leifo from Notre Dame. And I don't see a world, honestly, where the Packers end day three without selecting an inside linebacker at some point. I do think Halfley and the coaching staff are probably higher on Isaiah McDuffie than a lot of Packer fans might be. I personally really like him, but I think Green Bay still needs rotational pieces behind Walker, McDuffie, and Eric Wilson. If nothing else, you know, even if they are convinced that McDuffie is a starting caliber player, which they might not be. So with all of that said, if they don't grab a guy on nights one or two, I really like Marist Leifo a lot as a day three selection for the Packers. You know, he played corner in high school, then transitioned to inside linebacker in college, got nice size to play the position and has experience in the slot and in the box. Not the best tackler, but always seems to be kind of at least in the right position and can instinctively find the ball. Good football IQ, and at the very least, I think he'll be a really strong special teamer to start with and probably play a little of that nickel inside linebacker year one when he kind of rounds out the rest of his game. But I look at McDuffie as more of like your traditional run stuffer, so he'll be a nice blend to me of athleticism between what you get in traits that Quay has and then McDuffie already has on the roster.
Hey friends, are you ready for the Bucks playoffs? Are you ready for a little Dame time? Even if you're not, you're probably ready for the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, or any of your favorite baseball teams kicking off their 2024 campaign. With all of this amazing action going on, there's never been a better time to get in on the excitement of Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your sports knowledge into some serious cash. Right now, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball entries on Prize Picks. Friends, I can't even begin to explain to you how much I'm enjoying my Prize Picks experience. It's so easy to play, and their user-friendly interface and enormous, and I mean enormous, selection of players and stat types make it a beautifully unique experience every single time I log in. Last week, LeBron James came up huge for me, and this week I'm looking to keep the momentum going, relying on Luka Doncic and Connor McDavid, and guess what? Even if Doncic or McDavid get hurt, Prize Picks offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. So what are you waiting for? Now is the time to get in on the excitement with Prize Picks. So download that app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. If you're like me, you've been in numerous ticket situations that were just flat out frustrating. Recently, I had tickets to a Bucks game and I could not locate the tickets that were allegedly sent to me. It ended up in a huge hassle and led to me being completely frustrated by the entire experience. Ticket purchases should not be that difficult, and thankfully, they don't have to be. GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals and their lowest price guarantee, GameTime takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I'm already eyeing up Bucks playoff tickets, and I know I'll be purchasing them through GameTime. My experience with GameTime has been simple, seamless, and completely without hassle. No more frustration, no more awful last-minute customer service phone calls, just easy access to great tickets. My favorite aspect of Game Time is their last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off by buying last-minute tickets, and save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the big game. And best of all, it's all covered with their low price guarantee. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, we are so close to the draft, and it's just fun to kind of imagine scenarios. And one that would be super fascinating is if the Packers leave day one and day two without that, what you would assume would be instant contributor at linebacker, because everybody thinks that they need it. But like you said, maybe they like the guys that they have a little bit more. And it could be some of these guys they drop in on day three to be competition. It'll just be so fascinating to see how they handle that position in particular. I've got another one here that a lot of fans are going to expect a player from this position to be taken, I think, relatively early. And that's at safety. I've got Javon Bullard here. So I'm reaching back up into day two for sure. But he's someone that I really find interesting for Green Bay. Again, not a super deep sleeper. He's probably going late second, maybe around that 58 pick where the Packers will be selecting. But the safety conversation for Green Bay is really interesting. There's the talk of Cooper DeJean playing a slot safety hybrid role for the Packers, and I love that. But then the discourse has kind of been that the next group that the Packers could consider are Jaden Hicks and Cole Bishop, those kind of guys. The guys who are closer to the line of scrimmage, who would be kind of that complementary role to McKinney with very different skill sets. But Brian Gutekunst was pretty clear that ideally McKinney and the other safety who will be playing for this team, whether they're on this team now or not, we don't know, that they would be interchangeable. And so for me, the other prospect in this class who offers that skill set a little bit more than some of these other guys is Javon Bullard. He can play deep, but he also has the ability to man up in the slot a little bit. He's an 8.4 RAS, so not a 9, you know, not one of these elite guys, but it really was his height and weight that sunk that RAS all the way to an 8. So testing was near elite. He's a Georgia Bulldog. He's 21 years old, and I thought he had a phenomenal interview, and I think teams are really going to like this player. And so to me, with all the assumption that Green Bay might be looking for a box safety, I just think that maybe they could tend closer to someone like Javon Bullard, and maybe he's the one that we've overlooked a little bit that they actually find there at like second round.
Yeah, that's another really fascinating name. I think Bullard's probably my top safety right now. And so I think, you know, depending on the flavor the Packers are looking for, he fits sort of that like really well balanced sort of safety that Brian Gutekunst was talking about in the press conference. So those are our sleepers that are worth mentioning. And now we get to flip over to our 10 minutes on the clock, although we may extend that slightly to talk a little bit about the second round. But for this activity, if you have not listened in the past, basically we are going to play the general manager. That's your role, Kyle, tonight. And so Maggie is going to be the head scout, giving input on each of the players that are available and or trade options. And then I'm just simply going to be the person keeping track of the timer so we don't pull a Vikings and have our pick slip past us. And I'll also be answering the phones should we have any trade conversations. So we're going to start with pick 25. But before we get there, Kyle, do you want to do the jingle, Kyle, that you so eloquently
did? Oh, my God. No, I will not. I will not do the
jingle. Okay, well, you screwed
up
pretty
bad. I would like to hear you try it. I would like to hear you try it again.
No, I'm good. Sorry, I'm too busy taking time. So before we get to pick 25, we actually have a phone call from a team trying to trade down. So at pick 19, the Rams are looking to move out. They do want pick 25 and 91. They're not willing to negotiate on that. So we'd have to give up our second third round pick to move up from 25 to 19. So we are not going to get anything else in that. But on the clock, or I'm sorry, on the board, we still have safety / cornerback Cooper DeJean, offensive tackle Olu Fashanu, offensive tackle / guard Troy Fatanu, and defensive lineman Byron Murphy II. So take a few minutes to discuss if you need it. Is this a trade that you're willing to move up, knowing that maybe a player or two off that list might slide to 25?
All right, Maggie. So, I mean, we're not there yet. We're a few picks away from our slot. This is an interesting call we weren't really expecting, right? Like, they come to us. They'd like to move down a little bit, get a little bit of capital on day two. As our scout, I'm curious, like, there's four names here that are on our board. I want you to just kind of tell me a little bit about, is there somebody here that you feel like maybe is worth giving up that late day two selection for us to go ahead and move up for? What have we talked about?
Oh, you weren't paying attention in our meetings.
Right,
so you
in
just
our
don't,
meetings. I don't remember.
Don't know. Yeah, but I mean, I think, you know, the general consensus is that it's really, really valuable to have all of these picks inside of the top 100. So to sacrifice 91, even though it is 91, rounds two and three are kind of where you round out that upper portion of your roster. You expect these guys to be immediate contributors. And, you know, the other general manager, Brian Gutekunst, earlier this week did say that if he could make more than 11 picks, he would love to do that. He wants as many, you know, swings at it as possible, wants as many contributors as possible. So I do think it's rich, but when you look at like the names, of course, and the calibers of the players that you could potentially be bringing in, it's enticing. I think Cooper DeJean is the front runner for me at this point, just because I really like some of the day two tackle prospects. And to me, Byron Murphy is also just an abundance of riches. I think he's incredible. But, you know, Andrew talked about Michael Hall earlier, and I think there's a couple other really nice defensive line prospects to like to round out a room without investing a trade up and losing pick 91.
Yeah, I mean, I love the players that are on the board here a lot. And in a real draft, not that this isn't a real draft, I would be very.
Do you take your job seriously at all?
I don't know. I'm having a hard time taking this seriously.
They're gonna need an answer soon.
Oh, the Rams are impatient.
Yeah, their time on the clock is running out.
They haven't had a first round pick in like 20,000 years. Tell them to calm down a little bit. Like, they don't even know what this is like. I guess for me, Scout Maggie, if there was a name here that I was like, we need to get up and get that player because they are the fall off between that player and what's going to be left is significant, I would 100% pay that 91 to go do it. For me right now, I think that the Rams look at this board and see how far we are down the board, and they probably like their chances of having one of those same guys fall to them at 25. So I'm going to say let's tell the Rams thanks, but no thanks. And we're going to roll the dice here and we're going to fall to our pick here probably at 25.
Yeah, I'm really glad you said that because Les Snead hung up on me like 4 minutes ago when you were supposed to make this decision. So anyways, the picks go by and we are ready to jump on the clock for the Packers. And here is what the board looks like. There is a couple of interior offensive linemen, Jackson Powers Johnson and Zach Frazier, available. Offensive tackle Olu Fashanu did fall to 25. Defensive lineman Jerzon Newton, linebacker Peyton Wilson, cornerback Kool-Aid McKinstry, safety Tyler Newbin. They are all available. At least those are the headliners. So we got 10 minutes. You are now on the clock. Go.
All right. I've got my mind made up, Scout Maggie, but I want you to tell me what you think I'm thinking to make sure that, like, everything that we've already pre-discussed in our scouting meetings is, you know, led us to this decision. But do you have one or two names here that you're like, this is where we need to go with this pick?
Yeah, I have a strong two, I think, that, okay. I guess three technically, that would be the most intriguing to me. I think that an interior offensive lineman is pretty steep at 25, and it just goes against what we've historically done, finding talent in day two and three. So kind of crossing those off my board. Olu Fashanu still being there is probably the ideal situation for me, considering, you know, we were intrigued by the possibility at 19. Jonny Newton, I think, is a lot of fun, but it goes into that same Byron Murphy category where potentially an abundance of riches, and I like some of the day two names at defensive line. Peyton Wilson, I have injury concerns about, and his age. I simply think that this is not necessarily the draft to take a big swing at inside linebacker early in round one. Kool-Aid McKinstry is probably another name that I would actually be considering. I think, you know, that's interesting there. And Tyler Newbin, I don't know. I just like some of the other safety prospects a little more that I think will be available. And I also am not convinced that Tyler Newbin won't be there at 41. So if it was me, I would absolutely be leaning towards Olu Fashanu, with, I think, an honorable mention to Kool-Aid.
All right. Like, well, we're about 2 minutes in, just so we keep track of that clock, GM. And the phone lines are surprisingly quiet, but we did just get one phone call. The Denver Broncos have called, and they are real desperate to trade up into this pick because we think there's a quarterback they're interested in, and they're going to offer us their third-round pick this year plus a 2025 first.
Holy
for
crap.
This pick, and then we also have to give up a fifth. It's not exactly equal. It works in our benefit a little bit according to the trade chart, but that is a 2025 first.
Take it.
Wait, where are we trading down to, though? What?
This pick would slide all the way to the third round.
Oh.
So it's the Broncos.
Yeah, that's what I thought we were going to. I thought we were going to be in the second.
Me too,
and
yeah.
We were picking up. No, I mean, no, they may be picking very high next year. But that's my holy crap was certainly that I was falling into the early, mid second round and picking up a pick next year. Because I'm with Maggie that there's a player that I'm running to the podium for right now. And if I trade away from that player, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to draft that player in 2025. So, Maggie,
who's the player?
I'm running with the card Olu Fashanu to the podium right now. I mean, I would have spent 91 to get him at 19. I would have been happy with Fatanu as well there. To get him at 25, I am over the moon excited about that. And I think, I mean, he's not a versatile player. He's going to play left tackle. We're not going to bump him inside. So that doesn't help us with, you know, the scenario of that multiplicity that we really, really enjoy. But I think we have an opportunity to upgrade left tackle and potentially get a player that, you know, if he didn't have 8.5-inch stubs at the end of his arms, might have gone in the top 10. So really excited about the opportunity.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/Blue Wire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
I also just really quickly want to say, like, I think that this whole, like, we like position versatile players, yes, to a point, right? I mean, there's certain guys when you're taking swings in the second or third or day three, you want to be able to, what's the verbiage people use, like, fail elsewhere. Like, you don't want to pigeonhole people into a spot. But if you're taking a first round pick and you're swinging for someone, I don't care if they want play one position really well, right? Like, I'm not taking a first round selection and saying, well, if they fail, I guess I move them. Like, if they fail, it's a botched first round pick anyway. Like, I don't think I need to have a fallback plan when it comes to, like, my first round, maybe my second round picks. Like, I like the position versatility, of course, especially when you're talking about, like, fringe roster guys or depth pieces. But when I want my starters, like, if they play one position really well, like, I'm okay with that.
And if we just need to sell this pick to the fans a little bit more, Mr. Timekeeper, I just want to point out that we are getting a team captain, team MVP, and a finalist for the William V. Campbell Trophy, which is the Academic All-American as well. So we are getting a good person. We are getting a hard worker, and I'm really excited to get him into our building.
I'm very excited for that pick. It is in. So Olu Fashanu, the offensive tackle from Penn State, working out. And to your point, Maggie, before we get into the second round, it is a little silly to try to apply the things that the Packers utilize when drafting offensive linemen when they haven't taken anybody in the first round since Brian Bulaga at tackle. And what was Brian Bulaga? Tackle only. So, like, I, you know, and that's pre-Brian Gutekunst. So, to your point, I don't believe all of those things necessarily apply just because they have in the past in different circumstances. So, I think that's an excellent point. And then for the Packers, we're moving all the way to pick 41. We're going to give you about 5 minutes on the clock, even though I think the second round is 7. But you know what? We're running short on time. So pick 41, the board looks like this: running back Jonathan Brooks from Texas. There's a few interesting wide receivers. Should you choose to go that route, Xavier Worthy from Texas, Roman Wilson from Michigan, Ricky Pearsall from Florida. At offensive tackle, if you want to double dip there, Kieran Amagaji is available. Defensive lineman Brandon Fisk, or I've heard it Fisky. Don't really like Fisky. defensive lineman Chris Jenkins, edge Marshawn Neyland, mentioned earlier in the show, linebacker Edgerrin Cooper, everybody's favorite, cornerback Enos Rakestraw Jr., TJ Tampa, and Mike Sanristil, and then also safety Javon Bullard, again previously mentioned in this show, are all available. So let's start that clock.
All right, We got a good list here, Maggie. And I mean, I think there's a few that we're probably going to weed out. I mean, we're probably not going to go offensive tackle again. I think there's a lot of duplicity within the defensive line room at this point. I feel like,
yeah.
I mean, we talked about adding someone earlier if we had a chance to get an impact player, but I feel like at this point we're probably borrowing snaps from some of the guys we want to develop there a little bit. So, but outside of that, I am interested, you know, for you to weigh in and just say, like, you know, this is where we feel like maybe this board stacks for us right now.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's an interesting thought here, right, that some of these names could potentially also be there at 58 and, you know, weighing what position you maybe value the most at this point. Jonathan Brooks is really interesting. He's potentially my favorite running back in this class, but you also have the caveat that he probably won't play until the middle at the earliest of the season. And what does that do for your depth at this point when you think about you being one injury away in that room already? So I'm not sure it's worth the gamble as rich as 41. Marshawn Neyland, I love, obviously, for a number of reasons. I think Edge Cooper is a really fun option at linebacker. The corners are intriguing to me. Mike Sanders still is probably my favorite of the bunch, but his metrics and thresholds probably don't meet what we typically look for. So you can probably cross him off the board, but Javon Bullard, I think, is really fascinating here too. So if I had to take my swings, it would be Nealon, Cooper, or Bullard, I think, at this pick.
You said Cooper, Nealon, and Bullard. Those are my exact names, actually. And it is, it's interesting. Nealon definitely presents a scenario where he meets a lot of what we look for at the position. He's probably what we need the least at this moment. I think we know that there's a chance that someone like Preston Smith is not with us in 2025 as a football player. He will still be on this earth, we hope. I mean, outside of that potential of him being off the roster, I think obviously getting someone like Nealon to be a successor would be great. I am leaning a little bit more towards, we think that we can win this year. We think that a Super Bowl is not outside the realm of possibility. So for me, I'm a little bit more tempted to go for a position where we know we're going to be able to get him on the field and get those snaps early. So I think I'm probably going to lean towards Ezrin Cooper and Javon Bullard here. Any other thoughts on this before we send in the card?
I mean, I think to me, if the toss up is what does the depth look like in the room already, I'm more comfortable trotting out Quay Walker and Isaiah McDuffie than I am Xavier McKinney and Anthony Johnson Jr. So to me, that's a nod towards Bullard, and I really like Anthony Johnson Jr., but I'm also pretty comfortable with Isaiah McDuffie and what I've seen from him, especially in the run game. So I think with a certain amount of coaching in the Jeff Hafley defense, we're going to see an improved Quay Walker. He's got experience with McDuffie already from Boston College. So I don't think that should deter us from looking at inside linebacker later this round or potentially day three. But I think Bullard checks a bigger box.
Yeah, I echo a lot of those thoughts. And I think there's other players we've discussed, like Trevin Wallace or something later in the draft, where like we might get someone comparable. Obviously, we might have those opportunities. Javon Bullard, I'm not sure that there's a lot of other players that can fill the role that he would fill for us. So let's go ahead and go Bullard here at 41 and see how this goes in the second round.
All right, with 1 minute to go on the clock, Javon Bullard, the safety, is the pick. And then we move down to pick 58, a little bit of movement from the previous board. Quarterback Michael Penix Jr. is still available in case you're interested in taking a quarterback in the second round. Running backs Blake Corum, Jalen Wright, Trey Benson, a wide receiver, Ricky Pearsall is still available. Offense tackle Kieran Amagaji did fall to 58. Defense lineman Rook Orhorohoro. Nailed it. Edge Chris Braswell and Marshawn Neyland still on the board. This is the big one I think will influence you. Linebacker Ezrin Cooper is available at pick 58. And cornerback Drew Phillips. And then safety Jaden Hicks. So I don't think this will take very long, but please go ahead.
Andrew's like, please hurry up.
Please wrap this up.
Please wrap this up. No, I mean, obviously, both those guys, like Nyland and Cooper falling, is, I think, fantastic in this scenario. Is there a, I mean, same rationale, like, I think Cooper plays for us immediately. Any reason we wouldn't go ahead and make that pick here, Maggie?
I, outside of my just vast love for Ruggiero, yeah, no, if it was any other group, I'd be really tempted here, but I think that Cooper is the immediate impact. I love Jaden Hicks as well, but don't see us investing in, you know, the double dip at safety in both of our round two picks, probably safety on day three at this point. So I think Cooper's a slam dunk.
Yeah, I love it. Let's do it.
All right, so Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker, is the selection there. So coming out of the second round, the Packers get offensive tackle Olu Fashanu, safety Javon Bullard, linebacker Edgerrin Cooper. I think if you two are running the Packers, most of Packers Nation is dancing in the streets. So that ended up pretty good. I used PFF's mock draft simulator, so... We know, depending on the mock draft simulator you use, certain players are going to fall a little bit further than sometimes people anticipate. But that's the way the draft goes, right? You typically don't feel like Olu Fashanu is going to be available at pick 25. But also, seemingly, every single year, the Baltimore Ravens are drafting, like, one of the top 10 players in the 20s, and then all throughout the draft. So you never know how players are going to fall. I always think that it's an interesting and valuable exercise to get a feeling of, like, what it might be like to have those conversations. We didn't have a lot of trade-down talk this year because we had the trade-up option, but that's always a really interesting thing to consider as well. So anything else before we wrap up?
I don't know if you guys remember this off the top of your heads, but have we ever actually picked a pick in our simulations? Because we do this every year, and I cannot remember if we've actually nailed a first rounder or if we've just always been wishful thinking, and what we've done is just jinx the Packers through the first two rounds.
I don't know if we have, and maybe Andrew's got the archives or something crazy, but I do remember that last year, I think we may not want to reference because I think we overthought it. And I'm pretty sure we took big Georgia tight end that is now escaping my brain.
Darnell Washington?
Yes, I think we took Darnell Washington.
I think we did. I think we did.
So we've scrubbed the archives of
That's
that.
Why I'm the scout and not the GM, apparently.
I don't remember what other choices were, but...
I have no idea who we actually took. I'd have to go back and listen. I actually did find the script, and Lucas Van Ness went one pick before the Packers to the Patriots. Okay. So I'm not sure who we ended up taking out of that group, but there are some names on there that are very familiar to a lot of people, some of which would make you laugh in various different ways. But anyways, it's here. The draft is here, and the Back of Day team has you covered for sure. The one thing that I want to make sure to plug, Friday night, if you are going to be watching the draft, rounds 2 and 3, please join us for the Pack a Day live stream. Maggie is going to be co-hosting with Andy Herman. I will also be hanging around with some people that are much brighter and more well-spoken than I am. But we would be honored if you join us. Kyle is too cool to join us because he thinks he's going to be hanging out at the actual draft. Maybe he'll do some live report-ins. I don't know.
I'm going to go ahead and say hey to Mel Kiper while I'm there. I'm going to go.
Yeah, exactly. But that is all the time that we have for today. It's been the Pack a Day Podcast. You find Kyle on Twitter at Packer_Pundit. You can find Maggie at Maggie J. Loney. Make sure you check out Packs What She Said. And you can find me at Andrew Mertig. Please subscribe and rate the podcast. If you like what we're doing, you can catch Kyle, Maggie, and myself every Wednesday during draft season. Who knows where we'll be after that. But next week, we'll be back with some wrap-up of the NFL draft. We'll actually know who is on the Green Bay Packers. But thanks so much for listening. Stay tuned. And as always, remember... Go, hey, go!
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.